In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum and welcome. You're listening to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about Arba'een in Islamic culture. So be with us.
Assalamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today is Sunday, 17th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Retreat Calendar, and the 3rd of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. For today, we choose chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 30 to listen to, and then we'll learn more about it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون.
And mention, O Muhammad, when your Lord said to the angels, "Indeed, I will make upon the earth a successive authority." They said, "Will you place upon it one who causes corruption therein and sheds blood, while we declare your praise and sanctify you?" Allah said, "Indeed, I know that which you do not know."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to what the leading Islamic scholars and learned men and experts have said, the objective meaning of Khalifa, that means deputy, is the divine vicegerent on the earth. Because the question which the angels ask later, saying that the human race may make mischief and shed blood on the earth while the angels celebrate his praise, reinforces this very meaning that Allah's vicegerency on the earth is incompatible with these deeds. However, Allah was pleased to create a being above all the creatures of the universe, the best creation, appropriate for being a divine vicegerent, Allah's deputy on the earth.
أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي الأحرار سيد الشهداء أبي عبد الله الحسين وجعلنا من المنتظمين بمصابهم مع إمامهن منصورهن من آل محمد.
Today, as the previous episode of today's special, we're speaking about Arba'een in Islamic culture, the 20th of Safar of the year 61 AH is called Arba'een, meaning the 40th, because 40 days had passed since Imam al-Hussein's uprising in Karbala. Every year, those who are passionate and devoted to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and the leaders of that fateful uprising, on the anniversary of Arba'een, hold a mourning ceremony, the most important and magnificent of which, without a doubt, is the huge procession of the lovers and mourners of Hussein ibn Ali to Karbala. Millions of passionate, devoted pilgrims from different countries, from the cities of Iraq, especially the holy city of Najaf, the tomb of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, go to Karbala on foot to visit the magnificent and enlightened tomb of Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him, on the day of Arba'een.
Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about one of the significant religious events in the Islam world, which is called Arba'een. The social aspects of Arba'een are profound. The pilgrimage fosters a sense of unity and solidarity among participants, transcending borders, languages, and cultures. Pilgrims often walk long distances, sometimes barefoot, towards Karbala, forming massive processions known as ziyarah. This journey promotes a spirit of communal support as pilgrims offer food, water, and shelter to fellow travelers along the way. During Arba'een, the city of Karbala transforms into a hub of hospitality. Local residents open their homes and set up mawakib, or makeshift rest areas. The mawakib means some rest areas for the travelers or for the pilgrims who come to Karbala from different parts of the world. So they set up mawakib to provide free food, water, and accommodation to pilgrims. This act of selflessness and generosity is a central aspect of Arba'een, emphasizing the importance of compassion and service to others.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. In this part, let's listen to a short part of Ayatollah Khamenei's speech on Arba'een. The leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran says, usually in such phenomena like Arba'een Walk, which has not been promoted in any way, but which suddenly emerges before one's eyes, the divine hand is more visible than in other phenomena. Notice how much effort and program is made in the world in order to gather 10,000 or 50,000 individuals in one place. But in the end, they are unable to do so. In our country, despite the existence of many obstacles, millions of people go to Karbala by way of an 80-kilometer walk. They walk, but they do not go there to enjoy themselves and to rest in a hotel. And a crowd of people several times larger than this goes to Karbala from within Iraq and from other countries. This is a divine event. This is a divine phenomenon. This shows that this path is the path of love. However, it is not a blind love. Rather, it is a kind of love that is marked by insights such as the love the friends of Allah have for God. O God, feed me with your love and the love of whomsoever loves you, and the love of all those actions that help me get closer to you. Bihar al-Anbar, volume 91, page 149. This affection and this love is accompanied by insight. A person with such love knows and understands things, and this attraction and magnetic power pulls him. You know that Arba'een March is the most magnificent religious gathering in the world. Although in other religions, large religious gatherings are held for various reasons, such as rain, forgiveness and repentance, thanksgiving, and etc., the Arba'een March is different from other religious gatherings in many ways. These loving pilgrims have come step by step
they have reached Karbala on this route. It was not only their feet that were moving towards Karbala, and it was not these bodies that were in the turmoil of reaching Karbala. Rather, it was these devoted hearts that for the love of Imam al-Hussein dragged their bodies and legs towards the holy shrine in Karbala. The love of Hussein inspires an indescribable joy in the hearts. And the hardships of the road, blisters on their feet and wounds are no reason to stop from this significant path.
Now, what about this objection that it's impossible for the family of Imam Hussein to go on this journey in 40 days? Some people today are sitting and calculating logistically, is it even possible? If you look at the distance from Karbala to Sham, it's more than 1,000 kilometers. So how is it possible that in 40 days they went and they came back? This should take months and months. How do we address this misconception here? When we examine the circumstances of that journey, my dear brothers and sisters, it was a very treacherous and difficult journey. It was not a vacation where they would allow the family of Imam Hussein to rest when they wanted. Do you know how many hours a day they would put them to difficulty and hardship on that travel, on those camels? Sometimes from 12 to 14 hours they would be crossing the deserts. And that was part of their mission, to humiliate the family of Imam Hussein, to put them through difficulty. So they would not let them stop so often to get some rest. It was a very, very difficult journey. Now, if the distance from Karbala to Sham, going through Kufa, is a little bit more than 1,000 kilometers, how many kilometers a day do you think they could have trespassed, they could have taken the distance of during that time? If you now examine the average distance that a camel can travel during that time, camels could easily travel at least 80, 90, 100 kilometers. If they're going at a very slow pace, they can easily go 6 to 7 kilometers an hour. Now imagine if they were moving 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day, sometimes even 14 hours a day, they could easily cut across the desert for 90 kilometers a day, 100 kilometers a day. So when we have historians like Al-Khawarizmi, who states on the 20th, on the 1st of Safar, like 20 days ago, the caravan of Imam Hussein arrived Sham, that means it took them 20 days to take this journey. Is this something impossible? To travel about 1,000 kilometers in 20 days? That's not impossible. That's averaging 50 kilometers a day. This is not something that it is impossible for us to say, how did that happen?
Dear brothers and sister, please keep us in your dua and supplication. We pray Allah for success of every Muslims in this world. Thank you very much for your time and fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today happens to be the 17th of the month of Safar, which according to a narration is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. Here we present you a mind-stimulating saying from the 8th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. God surely hates gossip, squandering and asking for financial help from the enemies. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about employment and livelihood. And in it, Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks about one of the verses of the Holy Quran in which this subject has been mentioned. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: Is it they who dispense the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have dispensed among them their livelihood in the present life, and raised some of them above others in rank, so that some may take others into service, and your Lord's mercy is better than what they amass. In commentating on this verse, Imam Ali said the following: Allah, the Exalted, told us that employment is one of the means of people's livelihood. He, in His wisdom, diversified their aspirations, motivations, and other states. Thus, He made man's employment of one another one of the means of people's livelihood. If every one of us was forced to build for himself, make his own furniture, and produce everything himself, the world's conditions would not be bearable, and people would not be able to endure them, and would find them impossible. But he ensured its management by diversifying their aspirations, so that everyone performs for others that which is compatible with his own capacity, in order for some of them to be served by others and for their conditions to be sound. And it's interesting to note that this hadith, what the Imam says in this hadith, is kind of tied up with which one of the verses of the Holy Quran mentions regarding the prophethood of the prophets, in that God Almighty in one of the verses of the Holy Quran says that mankind was a single nation, and then they differed and disputed amongst themselves, so then the prophets were delegated and sent, which kind of indicates the fact that human beings primordially were a simple species, and there wasn't a lot of diversity and disparagement amongst the individual members of the species. You know, society was very simple, but gradually as it began growing, there was a need for the distribution of labor, right, which the Imam indicates in this hadith. This leads to conflict and, you know, a need for, a law which is to be set out by God. And for this, God Almighty, He sent and delegated the prophets. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at employment and livelihood in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslim brothers and sisters actually. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Hassan, and Fawad Haider. I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum jami'a. How are you? Fine. Everybody's fine?
Yes.
Great. Inshallah, today we will talk about an important topic, about the mercy of Allah Almighty, about the bounteous mercy of Allah Almighty, about the unlimited mercy of Allah Almighty that takes over every single creature, okay? That, yeah. So, ayah 145 and 146 of Surah An-Nisa. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad, ready? Before we go to the explanation, we will listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal munafiqina fid darkil asfali minan nar walan tajid lahum nasira illa alladhina tabu wa aslahu wa'tasamu billahi wa akhlasu dinahum وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما.
Nice one. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, hope you stay with us till the end of this session. We have talked about the hypocrites, okay, in the previous sessions. And we said that, of course, they are in a severe punishment, okay, they have. Here, Allah Almighty says an important point. Look, the first ayah for today, Allah Almighty says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ayah 145. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Indeed, the hypocrites will be in the lowest reach of the fire, in the deepest level of the fire. وَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. And you will never find any helper for them. This is the kind of, we can say, the last point of punishment. Okay? The severe punishment. But what does Allah Almighty mention here? Allah Almighty mentions an important point. As in the other verses of the Quran, Allah Almighty says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmah, my mercy takes over every single creature. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, okay? It means I'm merciful. At the same time that I am punishing, I'm merciful as well. But to who? To whom I am punishment, I am punishing, and to whom I am merciful. See, even if these hypocrites, who will be sent down deep in the hellfire, okay, they also have a chance to what? To experience the mercy of Allah Almighty. But what kind of hypocrites? Which one of them? Which ones of them? Allah Almighty says in the next ayah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Except those hypocrites who tabu, what? Who repent, wa aslahu, and reform and become better people, wa atasamu billah, and hold fast to Allah Almighty, wa akhlasu dinahum lillah, and dedicate their religion exclusively to Allah Almighty. Faulaika ma'al mu'minin. So these people will be no longer hypocrites. They will be with the faithful people. وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When they become the with mu'minin, they turn to be believers. And soon Allah will give the faithful people أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, a great reward. Then they will be no longer in the hellfire. They will be granted
mercy.
Mercy and?
So from jannah. Hellfire.
They can be taken. No. From hellfire, no, look, it says this. Yeah, of course, even if they go to hellfire in the day of judgment, after they get their punishment, okay, they'll go to what? Because we have different types of people. Some people, okay, will have severe punishment and eternal punishment. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, Allah Almighty says, خَالِد. It means they will be punished. There is an explanation here that...
So for some people, it's infinite.
Yeah.
Some...
Yeah.
Special people.
Yeah, but scholars as well have discussions here. But for some people, yeah, when they get punished, okay, they will go to heaven. And also in Barzakh also, okay, some people will be punished in Barzakh as well, okay, and their punishment will be finished, ended, okay, their sins will be forgiven in the Barzakh, okay. Look, Allah Almighty tells about His mercy, that my mercy even includes those people who deserve to go deep in the hellfire. The lowest part. The lowest part of Jahannam or hellfire is the what? The most fiery one. You can say, yeah? It's a severe punishment. Even rahmah, mercy of Allah Almighty, takes, if mercy or rahmah of Allah Almighty takes over someone, okay? And that person has to have some qualities. What kind of qualities? He has to repent. Really repent. He shouldn't be like hypocrite anymore. Okay? Not for secular advantages. He once believes in the morning, in the afternoon he disbelieves. Okay? Wa aslahu, then start doing good things. Not plotting against Muslims, plotting against his Muslim brothers, sisters, against his family, or trying to deceive Allah Almighty or something like that. Wa atasamu billah, and seek help from Allah Almighty, hold fast to Allah Almighty, and also wa akhlasu dinahum lillah, and their religion, whatever they do must be solely for Allah Almighty. So if they have these qualities, yeah, they can be forgiven. Allah Almighty will send them to the heaven. Alright, that's it. Any questions, guys?
No, sir.
Hope, inshallah, we've learned something from this. I really ask you to refer to the tafsir books because we mention short tafsir points.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Let's move on to the second part of our class, the Tajweed rules. If you are ready, and let's wake up those people who have fallen asleep with a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jinfar.
Knock, knock, knock. We're going to go to the Tajweed rules. Get up. Innal munafiqeena. Again, nun mushaddad. Of course, wherever you find it, pronounce it with a longer sound. In and a nasal sound. Munafiqeena fi ad-dark. Fi ad-dark. Fi ad-dark. Ra has a heavy sound. في الدرك الأسفل. This expression is used a lot, okay? People use this.
Yes.
في الدرك. Also, they use أسفل السافلين as well. They use a lot, okay? It means the lowest part.
Can you translate?
Huh? The lowest part. Dark is level. أسفل means lowest. في الدرك, okay? Not في الدرك, no. في الدرك. في الدرك الأسفل من النار. Again, نون مشدد. من النار ولن تجد. نون ساكن plus تاء. Yeah. إخفاء. Hide the sound. ولن تجد لهم نصيرا. را has a heavy sound. إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا. You ignore همزة الوصل here. واعتصموا. Billahi. Again, Hamzatul Wasl is skipped here. Also, the word Allah is pronounced with an A sound. Billahi. Wa akhlasu deenahum. Akhlasu. Kha has
a heavy sound.
A heavy sound. Akhlasu. Deenahum lillahi. Faulaika ma'al mu'minina. Faulaika. The mad is wajib here. Ma'al mu'mineen. Hassan, you tell us, what does Sila mean here?
Better to continue.
Better to continue. Sila wasl. Yeah, better to continue. You could still stop here. It's okay, no problem. Wasawfa yu'ti Allahu. Again, the word Allah is pronounced with a light sound. Since there is a... A kasra before the word Allah. Whenever you got a kasra before the word Allah, okay, pronounce the word Allah with an A sound. But whatever Allah is preceded with a fatha or a dhamma, pronounce it with an A sound. وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. أَجْرًا. Jim is ساكين. It should be pronounced with an echoing sound, yes? أَجْرًا. Yeah. Ran, tanween. After tanween you have ayn, no changes. Ajran azeeman. Azeeman changes to?
Azeema.
So, we have mentioned the tajweed rules. Let's now practice the recitation. Ready, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
إن
المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا
إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا
إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين
إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين
وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما
وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Allah bless you inshallah. See you in the next session with the next verses of Surah and Nisa. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless.
Azuru Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Mu'tamadi wa Rajai.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves Hussein, Hussein, the slain
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
لقد عظم مصابي بك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثأرك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of Ziyaratul Ashura. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. Therefore, I ask Allah who venerated your station and honored me through you to provide me the succor to avenge for your blood with a supported leader from the family of Muhammad. May Allah pour down His mercy on him and his progeny. In this regard, we said that it is one of the advantages of reciting Ziyaratul Ashura daily that it awakens the human soul. It prepares the soul and, of course, it prepares the human beings for the reappearance of our 12th Imam. It enables us to pledge loyalty to the Imam of the time. And this is what constantly facilitates murabata and adhering to the imam during his absence. We said that the concept of murabata, and this word specifically in Islamic law and jurisprudence, is employed for those warriors who adhere to the frontiers of a Muslim country. And we said that based on our traditions, guarding the frontiers, or ribat, is reported to be 3 days at least, and 40 days at most. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, "Al-ribatu thalathatu ayyam." Guarding the frontiers is for 3 days, وَأَكْثَرُهُ أَرْبَعُونَ يَوْمًا. And the longest duration is 40 days. فَإِذَا جَاوَزَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ جِهَادٌ. However, if it exceeds that limit, that 40 days, then it is considered as jihad. And jihad, we all know, it is war in the way of the Almighty Allah. Now, there is another kind of murabata to which the Holy Qur'an invites the believers. The Holy Qur'an says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who have faith, be patient, stand firm, and be adherent. رَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and be wary of Allah, so that you may be felicitous. In this regard, Buraid ibn Muawiyah is reported to have said, Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir alayhi salam said about Allah's words, O you who have brought faith, be patient, stand firm, and be adherent. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. He said that it means be patient in performing the obligatory acts, stand firm against your enemy, and adhere to your awaited imam. And adhering to the awaited imam, alayhi salam, alludes to the awaiter's state of preparation, to his state of harmony and steadfastness. The one who has not yet prepared himself to rise with the imam of the time has not yet reached the frontiers to safeguard the same. Ribat, or adhering to the frontiers of a Muslim country for the protection of that country, only makes sense when one has deciphered the frontiers of a Muslim country, resolved to station oneself there, and has practically stationed oneself there. So this is the true meaning of ribat.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, dear listeners, we said that the point is reciting Ziyaratul Ashura on a daily basis awakens the human soul, prepares the soil, and it enables the reciter, the Zair, to constantly pledge loyalty to the Imam of Time, and this is what facilitates Murabata. Regarding Murabata, we said that there is another kind of Murabata which the Holy Quran invites the believers to, and this is the point. This is what we're discussing here. Adhering to the awaited Imam of our time alludes to the awaiter's state of preparation, his harmony, his steadfastness. That's why the Holy Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. Be patient, stand firm, and be adherent. رَابِطُوا. And the ribat spoken about in this verse is not simple. It entails great struggle. That's why the verse says, "Isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu." Before that ribat, before that fighting against the enemy, before that standing fast and steady, you need to isbiru. You need to be patient. You need to stand firm, and then it is the only chance of rabitu. Then it is the time for you to be adherent. So it is not simple. It has great struggle therein, and it is a ribat that transpires within the soul of the human being. It forms the very foundation of ribat in the world of phenomena. This is what we will also discuss in the next episode. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Our Arabi English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim, Islam, my deen. Allah, my Lord. His word, Quran. Muhammad, Prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. This is Arabic English Radio, and you're listening to Youth Station. I am Bita.
And I'm Asma, once again.
If you are in our sweet home.
Yeah.
Once, there was this friend of mine that I was really close to. You know, I'm not that kind of person who can really easily get close to someone.
Mm-hmm. And, clearly.
Yeah. And she was really dear to me, and we were going to have a good relationship with each other.
And I think that this story is not going to end well.
Yeah, fortunately. Most of the stories have bad endings, or they're open. And unfortunately, we don't have that kind of happy endings here.
And I hate open life. Endings, but they are bad.
They're beautiful.
Ugly endings.
Maybe. Not sure about that. So let's talk about my friend here. I don't want to make it as an open end story here. And we were having a good relationship. And once I saw something. We were out and a new person came to our company. She was completely changed. And I was like, what are you changing yourself like that? You know, I'm your friend for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and you're acting like someone else in front of someone who just came to our company and just talking to us and completely new and a stranger and something like that. I was surprised. And she was just justifying herself. And she was like, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. I wanted to be like that. And if you think I was changed, maybe you didn't know me well. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're tearing the blame into me right now. And you're telling me that this is my problem?
And how easily we just choose our words.
Exactly.
How easily.
And that was the time I just put a full stop to this friendship.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a bit harsh, but I think it was...
Well, I must say that such a thing does not happen in the world of, I don't know, a little bit older young people. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean that sometimes you see such behaviors, but you do not take action. The only thing that happens is that you lose your interest in that person.
Yeah.
I mean, you do not say, okay, this is the full stop. From now on, we are cut.
I know what you mean.
There is no place that I can see you, and there is no way that I can hear you. Just I would lose my interest in these sort of people.
This is so sad.
You know, the thing that happens, which is so dangerous, I must say, it's so dangerous because sometimes as friends, we talk to each other. We just go out, we do things together, we go shopping together. But then I do not understand what you have in your mind. So suddenly... you lose your interest in me. I do not know what I have done.
This is a kind of awkward situation, in my opinion.
So awkward.
I mean, you know what? Because it's just you don't know what you did that person lost their interest in you.
This you don't know what
exactly.
Kills you.
I know. And I think here that you don't know what is the problem of that person. I mean, if you have some red lines, red flags for other people's
behavior, usually say it as well. I just say
it to the people.
There's a friend of mine. Yeah. She gets into misunderstanding so much. And then, honestly speaking, if I was at an age of, I don't know, 11, 12, or 15, I would have done the same.